Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest for the 5 o'clock hour, Dick Harmon from the Deseret News. Dick, how you living?
You know, I'm trying to live a clean life and be honest and
truly
all those
chaste.
Kind of things to get your points. True chaste, benevolent.
Virtuous, and you do good to all daughters and men of this earth. I know you, Dick, especially when you're on the golf course. You're not a guy that, it depends. Depends on how angry you get. But I've never seen you hit into a group. But if you were to hit into a group, you know exactly what your shot lengths are. So you can skip that up maybe 5 feet away from them and no harm, no foul, right?
Well, it's not good enough. It's not considered in good form if you hit to where they turn around and look at you. So that's the safe distance.
Safe distance. I'm sure you put enough backspin on that ball to let it sit down very quietly so they don't look around. Dick, tell me what you're working on, man. I was talking to you a little bit earlier today, but tell us, when is this article going to drop, and can you give us a little bit of a tease?
Yeah, I'm doing a little piece kind of ranking the in-state guys in the draft and where they'll go and, you know, who will go first and second and third. And, you know, thanks to you, I quote you in my column tomorrow, you were helping me with a little part of that I was really curious about, and that's the improvement. Who's made the most improvement? And Sky Pove, you know, and Eric Rowe, I think, are the two that have. And really interesting, the numbers that you threw out about Sky Pove. I don't think people realize, number one, how good he was during his BYU career. It seems like all he did is get flack and criticism. And number two, how much hard work he did in the off season, and in his senior year, he's the leading tackler at BYU. But just how much hard work he did with his training coach, Jordan Pendleton, and just how good he was, and the numbers speak for themselves. And thanks to you, I'm going to use those in my column. But it's a way of getting him a little bit of credit. He probably will not be drafted, but. You know, but that work should not go without being, noticed, because he's had a tremendous January, February, March.
Love it. Tell me what you think about, because I don't want to give too much away regarding that article, but I appreciate the tease for all those Cougar fans that are interested in that. When will that be dropping?
That will come out tomorrow. It'll be probably posted by 8:30, 9 o'clock tonight, and it'll be in print tomorrow morning.
Awesome. Can't wait to read up on it. I think the breaking news today has to do with the assistant to the director of football operations, the assistant director of football operations, Russell Tialavea, being hired. You know about Russell, his story, very unique story. He's had his ups and downs. He had his ups and downs at BYU. Very high successes, especially his senior year, even his freshman year, but also had a lot of adversity at BYU. Is this a good hire for BYU? Why or why not?
You know, I think it is, because it's a signal to a lot of different people. BYU, you know, in the last 3 years have made a great big effort to open their doors to the Polynesian community. They brought back Robert Anai, who is a native of Kahuku High School. They hired Mark Achulai, who has a law degree, is a great example to people, also a graduate of Kahuku High School. They've hired Fui Vakapuna from East High School, who was an NFL player, to come back and be an academic advisor. They've had Manasi Tonga come in as kind of a part-time student advisor in the academic office. He just graduated this past week. And now Russell Tualavea, who is a Samoan, he's from the Carlsbad area of Southern California. He is a guy that came out here, had no intention on going on a mission, kind of a quiet guy, kind of a hard guy to interview, but a very sincere and deeply devoted and loyal person. And during his course of a year and a half here, he decided to go on a mission. It was interrupt his football career right in the middle of it and go. And it's just a great story of a guy that's just, I think, progressed personally and spiritually and intellectually. And it's, I think, BYU's way of saying, you know what, you're a good guy, and we need good guys on our team, and there are things that you can do to help us. Let's just hire you. And I think that's a good thing. I think it really shows a lot of respect for not only him, but an effort of BYU of reaching out to the Polynesian community and offering guys, former players, jobs. And you got to take care of your own, and this is BYU's way of taking care of one of their own.
Dick, are there some cons, though? I mean, are you hiring a guy just because he's a former player? and that he, because he's going to be buddy buddies with whether it's the coaching staff or these current players. Does Russ have the skill set? Does he have the specific training in order to execute a job like this? You know, and I don't know all the ins and outs of what this job entails. He's an assistant to the director of football operations with Patrick Hickman. But I imagine there is a technology side of things. There's also the, in my opinion, what he has down pat is just being able to get along with everybody, right? He's got that down, but there's other things, organizational, technology. Is this just a kind of a comfort hire, or is there some cons involved here?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what his resume is like and his experience and his technical knowledge. That job does require a couple of things. And I think this is a new spot, a new job opening at BYU, because Dwayne Busby was the director of football operations for many, many years. And then Patrick Hickman has taken one place removed from when Dwayne left over a year ago. But it requires you to be organized, to be able to make arrangements at hotels, to make arrangements for food, for transportation, for buses, for vans, for members of the coaching staff and their cars, all kind of calendar issues on campus when recruits come. He'll be working a lot with Anderson that just got hired as a personnel director. I don't know. I know that he gets along with people. I would imagine that maybe part of what he can bring to the table is that he can relate to some athletes. BYU is a place that has a certain palate in the student body and in the football realm, and his background and his as a Samoan, I think it adds to the ability of people to relate to other people, just having conversations, a trust factor. But you're right, I don't know the technical aspect of what he brings to the job in terms of, okay, he is outstanding at this and that and that and whatever. I'm not privy to that.
Dick Harmon from the Deseret News on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. I think it is a good hire. I'm extremely excited for Russell's opportunity to really be that liaison between, and he was that as an academic advisor last year, between the coaching staff and these young men. I put out a tweet, and I got a reaction from three players that I know have had struggles at BYU. I put out a tweet stating that this is a good hire because Russell Tialavea has experienced the highest of highs, being a conference champion, winning 51 games during his career, being a starter for most of those years. Every single year that he played, he was a starter, but also experienced some lows. He's had a lot of injuries, had knee injuries, foot injuries, and then also put it all on the back burner and served a mission, came back with a new perspective. Well, three of the guys that reached out to me and kind of approved of this were Jordan Prater, who has kind of had his issues there at BYU, but still on the right track, very positive right now. Dallin Levitt, who's not even at BYU anymore, approved of it. And then Michael Shelton. All three of those guys, I think, speak to the hire that this is and how good of a hire it is.
I think you probably hit it on the head right there, Ben. And there are people at BYU that are athletes that struggle. They struggle academically, they struggle socially, they struggle spiritually. And, sometimes it's hard for those guys to go and talk to a guy that doesn't seem to have any struggles. Maybe a guy on staff that's the bishop or an Elkhorn president, or it just doesn't seem to have any issues and they don't relate to him. And I'm not saying that Russell is that guy, but it seems to me that he would be a conduit of relationships where people can relate. He's not an overbearing person. He's not a guy that could be intimidated, and not a guy I think that would be too judgmental in a way that would make you feel small. I think it's more of a relationship thing, saying, hey, he's a good guy. We need good guys. We need guys that can come and talk to him, that can have confidence that he'll understand totally what he's going through and can help him, and maybe he's that guy.
Dick, we haven't talked about, I think, I can't remember when the hire occurred, but Andrew May, the director of basketball operations. Have you gotten any insight as to why they hired Andrew? Anything that you can share with our listeners about the process of that hiring?
Well, number one, it's kind of an entry-level job, and it's really a lot of hard work. It's a lot of busy work. It's a lot of nuts and bolts. It's an entry-level job into getting into coaching. I think that because he had worked at BYU before, he's familiar with the staff, all the assistants, and Dave Rose, that gave him an automatic opening and to come back and to have an entry-level job because it wasn't a risk. They knew what he can do. They knew what he's capable of doing. They know that if they need things done until 2 in the morning, that here's a guy that can do it, and he's not going to cause waves, and he's not going to cause problems amongst the staff. So that's the number one thing, is he's capable, he had experience, and he's familiar. The second thing is, and I just learned, you know, I know Mike May. I covered him when he came out of California and came to BYU, and I know his father, and, you know, I think BYU's reaching out and trying to, just like this other hire, taking care of their own with some of their own. And so in that regard, I think it's a good hire. That job is one of thankless nuts and bolts. You have to take care of so many details for this coaching staff that they just don't have time to take care of themselves. And so from if the May kid is a guy that can work off an agenda and a to-do list, and get it all done by the end of the day, then he's the perfect hire, and apparently they think he is.
Yeah, I mean, not a ton of stories going on in the offseason, but you do have these hires that I think BYU fans want to know about. They don't know much about Andrew. They don't know much about Russell Tialavea, outside of what they saw on the football field. So, you know, I think both of these hires are good. Number one for Andrew, it's a good hire because I think he's already done that type of work at Salt Lake Community mm-hmm. College. He's been kind of that grunt you know, hopefully this is a step up for him and he comes back home to BYU and he's motivated, he's re-energized and can take BYU to that next level that they that they want to get to. But Russell, I think, is also a great hire. So kudos to both coaching staffs. Let's go back to football. And I know you're going to be highlighting some of this in your article, but let's talk about draft. How many BYU football players are there going to be drafted this weekend?
Well, that's a good question. I would think that Alani Fuel will be drafted. And I think from there it's just a shake of the tree to see if somebody can step up and Jordan Leslie would probably be the next person that I would think would have a chance, maybe a late sixth or seventh round right on the border. I don't see that David Mahina would be drafted. His career had been a little bit spotty and up and down. Rob Daniel, I think he's talented enough to be drafted, but I don't know. There's something about Rob in the last year to 18 months that just gives off a negative vibe, whether it's attitude, whatever it is, and I think that he's going to drop because of that. You're closer, I think, to a lot of the defensive backs than I am, but am I accurate that way, that maybe Rob's stock is just kind of dropping?
I don't know. I thought that his stock went up after the pro day. His film is what's going to hurt him. You hope that his pro day and his numbers would hopefully offset what they saw on film because he got beat so often, and he was not assignment sound. He bit on a lot of double moves. In fact, the Eagles scout even said, singled him out, number four, as biting. You got to be careful with number four. He bites on double moves. That's not a good thing, right? But I think they see his tangibles, and he's definitely going to be picked up. As far as being drafted, though, you have to have some film. You have to show at least an elite athletic moment. Ezekiel Ansah, remember that Boise State game or that Utah Absolutely. State game? Right, I mean, he had two or three, four plays, and then he showed up at the combine as well, which really helped him. So I don't know if Rob Daniel has any of those plays. I mean, can you remember a specific play where you just said, wow, that guy is an elite athlete?
Not too many. I saw a couple of tip-aways, but that one I think was a year ago, not this past season. I think he kind of struggled this past season. You know, another player is Kai Pove, BYU's leading tackler. You don't want to underestimate what he's been able to do. We spoke at the top of the interview about him. I don't know that he'll be drafted, but I think he'll get a good hard look. I learned over the past week, though, that when Christian Stewart went up and threw for Drez Anderson, there were NFL scouts there that were telling members of his family and other people that Christian, if he came out, he would get a hard look and he'd get a chance. In fact, a couple of key people said the guy's got the arm. You know, if he came out, we would give him a good look. He definitely would get a look in the NFL. He has no interest in playing in the NFL that I know of, and I think that he did not even put his name in to even be considered. But, you know, it's really a kind of a perfect story of a guy that just came and played the game because he loved it, not because he might make money. And, you know, that's just adds to, I think, his legend.
Dennis Erickson walked up to him afterwards and stated that, dude, you can throw it you can spin it just as good as anybody out here. You got a great arm. I mean, everyone has given him praise. You just have to wonder sometimes you project and you speculate and you think, what if he would have been given a chance? Just like what if a guy like Brad Sorensen would have been given a chance at BYU? What if Ammon Olsen might have been given a chance at BYU had he stuck around? There's been a lot of good quarterbacks that have gone through BYU that have been overlooked, and you wonder, man, you know, why did that have to happen? You know, what should have happened? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good story and a good legacy. The guys that didn't get the starting job, what would become of their lives? I mean, during the Riley Nelson era, you had James Lark, who was rated higher than him. BYU chose him over Riley. They recruited him. They signed him over Riley instead of Riley. You know, and yet he ends up coming back off a mission and playing behind Riley and never really got a chance except for a bowl game where he set BYU records. And then we never saw him again.
Yeah, Dick Harmon from the Deseret News on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. You know, we were just talking about, you mentioned Rob Daniel. And Zach Hicken, our intern, wondered, when was the last time BYU had a defensive back that was drafted? And it was actually Derwin Gray back in like 93. He was he was drafted, I believe, in the fourth round, 92nd overall, 5'10", 190-pound defensive back out of San Antonio, Texas. But it's been a long time since a defensive back has been drafted. In looking at what we have on the table right now, Rob Daniel, Sky Pove, or even at BYU currently, do you foresee any of these defensive backs getting drafted?
I think Michael Davis, if he continues to develop, he has the skill set, the speed, the size, you know, that if there's just a handful of things that he does, he could be drafted. I think Jordan Prater is a guy that can play at the next level. We just saw him as a freshman scratching the surface. But yeah, I think those guys could probably make it. I haven't seen enough of the safeties to make a real judgment on how good they will be, could be. I don't know that Dallin Leavitt, who is now at Utah State, would have had the, you know, physical tools and size to make it on the next level. But, you know, he really wants to. That's his life's goal. We got Daniel Sorensen that we have watched develop, and he's hung with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was not drafted, but he's on an NFL roster, at least has been. So it can be done. It's just a very tough spot for BYU to develop. They need to do that. In fact, if that was one thing, if I was Bronco Mendenhall, I mean, he knows because he's a secondary coach, and he was brought up as a secondary player himself. If there's one thing I think BYU needs to do, is that to handle cornerbacks better than they have in the past, recruit better, evaluate better. They need to get to the JC ranks and get some of the very best that they can. It's very hard to get a four-year player at BYU in that position that really is productive and is headed for the next level. I think they're closer than they've ever been right now with Davis and Prater, but it's been hard. Like I say, 93, Derwin Gray. In 96, they had a pair of corners for that team that only lost one game and won 14. Well, tip of my mind.
Omar Morgan and McTyre.
Yeah, Tim McTyre.
Neither one of those guys were drafted, though.
Yeah, they were not drafted, but they were two of probably the best cover corners that I've seen at BYU ever. They had it all. They can cover in man. They could come up and press cover. They had very quick reaction. They were good tacklers. They hardly ever got beat. They were always in position. They need to get those kind of players. They need to go down to Los Angeles Community College and even get into Oakland and San Francisco College. And they need to give some guys a break and see if they can get them in here. They're going to other schools. It's a hard sell. It's hard for BYU to do that, but they need to do it. Bronco needs to be able to bridge that gap and have a breakthrough with players like that. Most likely JC guys like yourself, very hard for four-year guys.
Dick, as always, it's our pleasure. Thank you for joining us. You can get back to the golf course, hit them long, hit them straight. You know, when you're putting, you know, don't let anyone distract you, bud. I know, even if, you know, just block it all out. Block it all out. Find your line.
I haven't been out there for a while, and I don't know when I'll be out there, but it's hopefully be pretty soon. But anyway, good luck to you and your program, and good luck in getting yourself on the golf course. You need to be out there in the sun, getting in all those vitamin rays and just feeling it.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it.
All right. See ya. Bye.